thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
During the next 3 weeks, we're going to take a look at the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And we're kind of looking at this like moving. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about how when my wife and I moved out here from Lake Tahoe 16 years ago, we had to actually like put everything in a moving van and go through all the hassle of moving out here. It wasn't enough just to think about it. Well, wouldn't it be nice to be in Arvada, Colorado? We had to put a little elbow grease in to arrive here. And then once we got here, then we began the difficult work of unpacking everything and putting it in the house. So what we want to do tonight is we want to take a look at 3 rooms, so to speak. We want to unpack 3 rooms, and we want to go in them as a group, as a congregation, look around a little bit, get the pictures on the wall in the right spot, and get the furniture arranged the way that it looks good. And so that our hope is that after you're done with the next 3 weeks, that you will have not only moved somewhere of knowing more about the gifts, but we want you actually to have moved in and feel more comfortable with the gifts. So we're gonna do a little experimentation here and try the gifts out in a safe atmosphere of the church where it's okay to fail and not get it exactly right, because the goal of spiritual gifts isn't only to use them in the church, although obviously that is going to be a context that you're going to use them in, but we want you using the gifts of the Spirit outside of the church, where you work, with your family, in your neighborhood, when you're just out and about. So how are you ever going to do that if you don't feel a little comfortable doing it in here? You know what I'm talking about? So there might be a little pushing beyond the comfort zone, but God never said, come unto me and I'll leave you in your comfort zone. He said, I'll give you rest so you could go out and do stuff for him. So you got rest. We great worship service tonight. So now let's learn some things that God wants us to use so we can love other people, so we can impact people, so we can make a difference in the world. God wants to use you and me to do that. No born-again Christian is exempt. He wants to use you in great ways to reach your friends, to reach your neighbors, to reach your coworkers. So if you'll pull your notes out, the first thing I want you to do is I want you just to do a quick glance over, like open them up, look on the inside, look on the back, and then I want you to say, Roger, there's a lot of writing on these notes. So we'll make that short, and we'll just say, turn to your neighbor and say, there's a lot of writing. I don't know if I'm going to read everything on your notes. The reason, though, I gave you notes with lots of writing was so that if I don't get to everything, you can go home, you can study, you have a chance to meditate on it, because you're not, if this is new to you, and I'm hoping a lot of you, this is new to you, you're not going to, the first night, you're going to be kind of going, huh? But you can take your notes home, you can look at the extra quotes and stuff I put in here, and then the Lord will help you understand it more and more. So, but what I'm asking you not to do is please don't read ahead. So if I look out there and everyone's like this, then next time you're not getting any notes. So just a warning. Okay, just kidding. All right, let's start off with the scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:4-11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So tonight we're going to be looking at the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Next week, Pastor Blake will be back, and I gave him the easy assignment. All he has to do is faith, healing, and miracles. Easy. I gave him the easy week. And then lastly, Blake and I will finish up with prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. So that's tonight and the next 2 weeks after that. Then the week after those two, then we're going to take a look at the gifts in Romans 12. So we've got about 4 weeks looking at the gifts. It's going to be a great time together. So tonight you can call these gifts the discernment gifts. Now, when you were talking about the gifts of the Spirit, compare the gifts of the Spirit to the five senses that we have. We have the gifts, we have the five senses of, we'll see if I can get them right. If not, someone will have to help me out. We have the gifts of smell, the gifts of taste, the gifts of touch, and seeing and hearing. How did I do? Most of us, yes, thank you, you can applaud. Most of us have all five, but not everyone has all five. And even if you have all five, you don't all have them to the same degree. Like, let me use eyesight as an example. I really try to help clean up after dinner. So, you know, I try to wash the dishes and I wipe off the countertops because I want to be a good servant husband and I want to serve my wife. And so a lot of times after I'm done cleaning up, my wife will say, did you have your glasses on when you were cleaning? And I'll say, yeah, how come? She says, well, like this, right over here. And I'm like, well, man, I thought I cleaned up everything, but my eyesight, and now I'm not just using this as an excuse. How many of you have spouses? And it could be the guy, it could be the lady. How many of you have spouses that seem to be a little bit eyesight challenge when it comes to cleaning up? Raise your hand if you have a spouse like that. Okay, that's all. No, put your hands way up. That's just so you can get in trouble from your spouse. Good. And I really am trying, but I'm a little eyesight challenged. So what you'll find when we look at these nine gifts and also the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is that some of the gifts you're going to go, wow, that's me. I didn't even know I even had that gift. I didn't even know there was a title for it. Yeah, that's me. Others of them, you're going to go, ooh, you know, I don't seem to have that as much. That's the way that God ordained it. Now, you can move in any of the gifts. Just like sometimes I can actually do such a good job cleaning up, my wife doesn't have to come after me. But it doesn't happen very often. So any of these gifts are available to you. You can move in them. But what you'll find is that some gifts you'll move in more than others. Why would God do that to us? Because we need each other. We need the body of Christ. So if you could do all nine as good as Jesus, then you don't need each other. But God worked it out so that we would need each other. So there'd be some gifts that you'd be hitting out of the ballpark on and other gifts that you barely even hit the ball on so that you would need other people in the church. We're knit together. Not only are we complete when you put all of us together, but we're also complete in the sense that we need each other, and it's a beautiful need that we have for each other. So let's dive in and let's take a look at the discernment gifts. Quote there by Frank DiMaggio, if you're looking for a good book on the supernatural, miracles is one of my favorites. And a lot of the quotes where they say Frank DiMaggio are from this book. These gifts see things as God sees them. They are God's insights into people's lives, circumstances, and at times, even the secrets of their past, their present, or future. So let's first of all take a look at the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom has been defined by Frank DiMaggio this way. a word inspired by the Holy Spirit and revealed, as you're filling there, and revealed to the believer. It is seeing what God sees in a situation and saying it. It is applying God's wisdom. Applying is your fill-in there. It is applying God's wisdom to a specific situation. Now, the first scripture that I have reference for you there, I don't have it on PowerPoint, but I'll kind of tell it to you. One of the most famous words of wisdom is in the Old Testament, and it concerns a king by the name of Solomon. Solomon was a great king. He followed David, probably the most famous of all the kings in the Old Testament. And he follows David, and he is a great king, a mighty king. Latter parts of his life don't go too well, but at this point, he's really seeking after God. And before this story happens, he had asked God, say, God, if you could give me one thing, give me wisdom so that I can lead this great people, Israel. And God says, because you've asked for that, I'm going to give you wisdom and many other things beside. So the king in those days was also kind of a judge as well. He was in charge of the military, the courts, and a lot of responsibility. So here he is on his throne, and a couple of ladies come before him, and they're single moms. And the story that they tell goes like this. The one lady says, I gave birth to a baby, and then a few days later, my housemate, my roommate, also gives birth to a baby. And I go to sleep with my baby, and she goes to sleep with hers, but she rolls over on her baby, and she suffocates the baby. And then she takes the suffocated baby, and she brings it in, and unbeknownst to me, while I'm sleeping, exchanges our babies. And then I wake up in the morning, and I look at my baby's dead. But then as I begin to examine my baby, I say, wait a minute, this isn't my baby. This is my friend's baby. And then she goes out and finds her baby with her friend. And so she goes to Solomon and says, please, tell her to give me my baby back. And the other woman says, you know what? Neither one of us should have the baby. Why don't you just cut the baby in two and give us both a half of the baby? And Solomon just peers into the situation and says, the mother is this one that spoke first because she had real care and concern for the baby. Give the baby to her. And it says that the word of this went throughout Israel. And they feared God because they thought, wow, the Lord has given such great wisdom to King Solomon. What God had given him was God had given Solomon a word of wisdom to be able to figure out whose baby this is. But let me take it a little deeper for you. Because in this story, I've read this story I don't know how many times. I've heard this story I don't know how many times. I've thought about this story and preached on this story and used it in word of wisdom examples. And somehow, I had missed some very key words that really tell us about how God wants to use words of wisdom in our life and through our life. These two ladies, they're prostitutes. They're prostitutes. And when I saw that, all of a sudden, the story took on a whole new level. It said this to me. You know, no matter how you're feeling right now about yourself, no matter how you got yourself into your current fix, your current difficulty, maybe you've really blown it somewhere. Maybe you've been living a life of sin and you know it. And now you've ended up in this particular situation, whatever it is. Here's what God would say to you. God still has words of wisdom for you. God so cares so much about you that he wants to speak into your life and into your difficulty. And not only that, but God actually cared about the child of a prostitute. God didn't just say to Solomon, you know what, a couple prostitutes there, who gives a care, just cut the baby in two. No, God actually cared about the baby of a prostitute and wanted that baby, even though it was a corrupted home, it wasn't the home that God had intended for that child to grow up in, he still wanted it to be with the most loving person possible, and that was the birth mother. And here's something else it says. Words of wisdom aren't just for clean people. They're not just for those who have their life all cleaned up, but God wants to use us to speak words of wisdom to people whose lives might be a complete and total wreck. And they might be living as far from God as you can imagine. That doesn't mean that God isn't interested in giving them words of wisdom. It might be just the opposite. Your word of wisdom might be what they need to draw them a little bit closer to God. And so when you're out and about, and you're talking to your neighbor, and maybe your neighbor's an alcoholic, or your neighbor's, you know, who knows what. Don't think in your mind that, oh, God's not going to give me a word of wisdom or a gift of the Spirit for this person or that person because they're so far from God. No, that's one of the main purposes of the gifts of the Spirit is to draw people to God. Because many times those people that are furthest away from God, the problem isn't that they don't understand or couldn't understand the gospel. It isn't really that they want to get in an argument with you about the, you know, when was the New Testament really written and, you know, the things that people just kind of throw up in the air. What they really need is a word of wisdom that'll cut through all of that kind of stuff and show them, wow, there is a God. And Scott last week shared some stories about, you know, how they do that if you were here. So even if you're down on Colfax and a prostitute happens to walk by you, God just might give you a word of wisdom that would help turn her around. So word of wisdoms are a powerful thing. I've got another couple more scripture references there for you. We don't really have time to take a look at them all because I want us to have time to practice. And then there's a longer definition of word of wisdom. We won't take a look at that tonight either, but please look at that when you get home. I'll just read real quick the bolded part on the second page of your notes. It's about seeing and applying divine principles and insights to life problems with the accompanying understanding of knowing when and how to proceed in a given situation. And the example in your notes from Matthew 22 is Jesus. It's a pretty famous story where they come to him and they say, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? Knowing that whatever he answers, he's in big trouble. And he says, give to Caesar those things which are Caesar's and to God those things which are God's. And it was the Pharisees that brought these questions together. It's interesting that in the story of the two prostitutes, there's never any hint that later on they repented and gave their lives to the Lord. But as Jesus is arguing with the Pharisees and he comes back with this answer that totally silences them, we read later on in the book of Acts, I think it's Acts 21, it says, and even the Pharisees believed. So even those that were most hardened against Christ while he was there in the revival that was happening throughout the book of Acts, even Pharisees, and I can imagine some of the Pharisees that were there that day watching Jesus give this word of wisdom that just turned them all away, and they're all going, oh man, what do we do next? Some of them, that word of wisdom took a while. This is later on in the book of Acts, but they finally got through to them. Same thing with us. You give people words of wisdom, you never know what's going to happen with it. Okay, next, the word of knowledge. A word inspired by the Holy Spirit that reveals facts or pieces of information, reveals facts or pieces of information not seen before, but now seen in the new light of the Holy Spirit's knowledge. A word of knowledge is a particular word given in a particular instance, thus revealing God's mind toward a specific situation. One of the most famous ones is found in John chapter 4. I do have this on PowerPoint for you. And it's about Jesus going to the well. And what's interesting about this scripture is how it contrasts the story we looked at with Solomon. Solomon had a word of wisdom for those two that hopefully pointed them to the Lord. Jesus had a word of knowledge that brought redemption on the spot to this woman. This woman was by the well. Jesus says to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." So what's happening here? Jesus has this encounter with this woman. At first it's just a fairly ordinary kind of encounter. He's at the well. She's at the well. He begins talking to her. She's kind of surprised because normally the Jews won't even talk to the Samaritans, let alone a Samaritan woman. And Jesus needs to find some way to break through, some way to get to her, some way to speak into her heart, because Jesus has a redemptive purpose in this situation. And so he speaks into her about her life, that she's had five husbands. This is obviously a source of embarrassment to her, a source of shame to her. We don't know if she had five husbands because she kept leaving the husbands. She was playing around constantly. We don't know if the husbands left her. We don't know the situation. But what we do know is that this situation would have caused a lot of pain, a lot of hurt, a lot of embarrassment, and a lot of shame. And so when Jesus brings up this situation, he instantly puts her in a situation of feeling, you could say, uncomfortable. A situation of like, whoa, like, who are you and how'd you know this about me? And Jesus is going to use that to begin to go deeper into her heart, deeper into her spirit, and begin to draw out of her situation, and then speak redemption into her. And many times people want to get in arguments, they want to throw up defense clouds, so to speak, and God will give you a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, and it can break right through the defenses and allow you to speak into someone's heart. Now, here's something that I would recommend, that if you're speaking to someone, whether they're a Christian or they're not a Christian, I wouldn't recommend using the Old Testament prophet model. The Old Testament prophet model looks like this. If you're at work, you stand up on your desk. If you're in your neighborhood, you like get a trash can, you turn it upside down, you climb up on top of it. And then you begin to say, "Thus saith the Lord." And it's important to speak in Old English because, of course, the Old Testament prophets spoke in Old English. We all know that. And then you begin to talk in Old English and you begin to, you know, pontificate to them. And don't use that approach. Don't use it with believers. Don't use it with unbelievers. The best way, especially if you're new, you're new at this, is to kind of work your way in so that you can back out easily. Now, I'm not saying that to make it like that you don't have faith, because trust me, if you're talking to your neighbor, your boss, your employee, a fellow employee, and all of a sudden God tells you to say something, to even open your mouth is going to take lots of faith. How many of you would agree with me? Okay, so no matter how you say it, it's going to take lots of faith. But the reason I'm saying that is because we're not perfect in the way we hear from God, right? So the best thing to do is sometimes just to like ask questions. Say, you know, when you were young, ask them a question. Have you ever had this kind of a situation? Ask them a question. Because if it's really a word from God and you bring up that situation, there, just like this woman at the well, it's going to be like prick, like on that little pain point or memory point, or it's sudden. You might be thinking you're asking a very simple question, but it's going to elicit a much larger response. A friend of one of our sons had received an Employee of the Year award where he works. It was a very hard award to get. He worked really, really hard. And I was picking up my son to go out to dinner. And God just said, go in and talk to your son's friend and just tell him congratulations for the award that you got. And give him a big hug. I said, okay. So instead of just calling my son, say, hey, I'm out here, come on down, I go upstairs. And I walk up to him and I said, yeah, I want you to know how proud Lisa and I are of you for getting this award. And I gave him a big hug and just looked him in the eyes. And I thought, you know, no big deal. It's like, that's just what you do, right? Well, my son tells me later that his dad had called him. But instead of his dad like congratulating him, he wanted to get some of the reward. He wanted to get something out of the situation instead of telling him that he was really, I'm not even sure he even said how proud he was. And that really simple act meant so much to him that I had done it. So sometimes God will ask you to do something and you won't even understand the full significance of what you're doing because it's deeper than you even know. One of the things that I like to do at the beginning of every year is I like to write a letter to each one of my family members. So my wife, my three sons, and then I read it to them. We go out to dinner, we have a special time together, and I read them their letter. And in the letter, I tell them, you know, this was great from your last year. We're proud of you, and point out the positive, and usually put in there some kind of hope or prayer for the new year. And then I always ask God to give me a scripture for each one. It's a different scripture for each one of the family members. And I try to be led by the Spirit. I try to hear a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, and then I read that to them. And, you know, sometimes, you know, especially, you know, with the boys, it's kind of like, yeah, thanks, Dad. my wife's a little bit more expressive and with the letters. But I always ask, I say, God, you'll give me something. I want something that is deeper than I know, that's gonna touch them in a way that I may not exactly know or understand exactly how it's touching them, but a word that is going to speak deeply into their hearts. And that's what God wants to give us for people. People right here, people in your small group, your ministry team, your family, and on out. So words of knowledge and words of wisdom is something that God can use all of us. Now the third gift is the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits, a definition, the spiritual capacity to judge whether the spirit operating has a source that is human, demonic, or divine. It is a supernatural perception into the spiritual realm. So is something that's going on, is it human? Is it demonic? Is it divine? Now, I don't have discerning of spirits. When I realize that maybe the person doesn't have the best intentions, I've already been mugged. But my wife, and God does this with, it's your spouse, it's your friends, it's your family. God puts it with people that my wife has incredible discerning of spirits. So a lot of times I'll ask her, you know, what do you think? What do you think of the situation? What do you think of this person? What's your discernment here? Because I just think everybody is wonderful. And the truth of the matter is everybody's not wonderful. And sometimes with the gift of discernment, people need to be help to understand what is the source. Because sometimes people don't realize that maybe they're moving in a human kind of, not necessarily not negative way, but they think it's God when really they just thought it up themselves. How many of you have ever been around someone who did that? How many of you have ever done that? We've all done that. So sometimes you just have to have someone sit you down and say, Roger, you know, I really know that you think that you heard from God, but it was the pizza. Or, you know, you had too many hot peppers, whatever it might be. It's not of God. It's just you. Because we are more than capable of hyping ourselves into all sorts of things, thinking they're God, they're not. We need other people to speak into our lives. Sometimes there can even be a demonic spirit involved. In the examples I gave you, one is Paul's on his missionary journeys, there's this girl going around and saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. Now, you would think Paul would be going, yeah, keep it up, go louder, good. But he realized that it was kind of a mocking spirit. It wasn't a helpful spirit. It wasn't someone who was really a believer in the Lord Jesus. And then finally, at one point, he just says, I've had enough of this girl. And he just speaks to the spirit, not to the girl, says he speaks to the spirit, commands the spirit to come out. The spirit comes out of her. And then the merchants that were using her to predict the future and get wealth, they're not happy. They throw him in jail. Whole story, we won't go into it. But he discerned that even though her words were right, her spirit was wrong. It was demonic spirit. In another place, in Matthew 16, Peter, one of the apostles, he's one of the top three leaders of the church Jesus is about to form. Jesus is saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be crucified, I'm going to die, I'm going to rise from the dead. And Peter stands up and says, time out. And the scripture actually says that he rebuked Jesus. Now, how many of you know that's not a good idea? He rebuked Jesus. And Jesus says, get you behind me, Satan, for you are looking after the things of man, not the things of God. Now, was Peter Satan? No. Did he become Satan incarnate for that one moment? No. But he was being influenced by a satanic spirit that didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. And so he said, get ye behind me, Satan. So those are two examples of discerning of spirits. Some of you probably have discerning of spirits, and you never knew what it was. You're like, I can just tell. Someone walks in the room, and I can just tell, man, there's something wrong with that person. There's something off about that person. You probably have discerning of spirits. God's given you a gift. Be careful how you use it. Don't just walk up to people and start trying to cast out demons. Get a little experience first. But God might have given you that gift that God wants to use to help the church and to help those outside of the church. So word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. Now here's what we're going to do tonight. That'll take you potentially a little bit out of your comfort zone. I don't know if this is going to work. So if not, I will be at the unemployment office tomorrow morning. Here's what we're going to do. After I set this up for us, I'm going to have you get in groups of no more than four or five. And then Chris is going to play, and I'm going to ask you to just say, God, maybe you have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom for someone here in my group. Would you please help me to hear that so I can share it with them? Now, you may not hear anything tonight. That is totally okay. There is no pressure on you whatsoever to say anything, so you can be at rest. You're not here to impress anybody. You're not here to show how spiritual you are. We're like learning as a family, okay? And I want to set this up with 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, is right in the middle of Paul's whole discussion on gifts. And usually when we talk about it, and it has application in many different places. We talk about it in friendships, marriage, church life. But we rarely look at it in the context that Paul wrote it in, and that is concerning spiritual gifts. So what did Paul, well, why did he put first the love chapter right in this big discussion about spiritual gifts? Because he wanted to say, when it comes to the exercise of gifts in the church, we have to do it in a way, not only are we loving in the way that we do it, but we're also loving with other people too as they're learning how to use the gifts. Because in the Old Testament, hardly anybody got to use the gifts. A few prophets, kings, judges, everybody else, big zero. But in the New Testament church, the whole idea was, we all are going to get to use the gifts. And so what that means is, instead of just a few people who are going to get it like 100% right on, there'll be a whole bunch of people who might only get it right like half the time. So Paul says that if we're going to have the gifts functioning in the church, we're going to have to suffer long. Someone's going to come up and say, I think I got a word for you. And they'll share it, and you'll be like, no, sorry, that really wasn't from God. That's okay. Say, no big deal. Hey, at least you tried. We got to have that kind of a spirit. Otherwise, you shut the gifts down. Love suffers long and is kind. You're like, yeah, don't worry about it. Love doesn't envy. That means somebody else are like great at the gifts. You don't envy them about it. It says that love does not parade itself. Seriously, I'm asking you, some of you, like, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, you do it all the time. So when we get in our groups, I want you to hold back. Not that you'd be parading yourself by using your gifts, but I want you just to hold back. Maybe let some of the quieter ones, some of the ones that have never had a chance to do something like this, give them a chance to try. It thinks no evil. So you don't have these, like, judgmental attitudes of, you think you're all that and more. It shuts the gifts down if you have that. It says it rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So we want to have a church that's functioning in the gifts. So to do that, the bottom line would be you've got to have grace for people while they're stepping out a little bit on the water. They might sink. It's okay. Peter's the only one who even walked a little bit on the water. Everyone else was just dry. So at least they're stepping out of the boat.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.